Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Menachos Daf Vav. We begin 10 lines off the top of the Amud, right in the middle of a discussion which is based on a pasuk. So actually it's a brisa which quotes a pasuk, Min HaBakar Lohitzis HaTreifa, which tells us that an animal which is deemed a treifa because of an internal wound, it's not slated to live too long, it's not suitable for a korban. And the question was, why a pasuk? Why can't we just arrive at this conclusion from a simple kal vachomer as follows? If even a ba'al mum, an animal which has a blemish which is perfectly okay for a regular person to consume, nothing wrong with eating a ba'al mum, nevertheless, it's asr as a carbon, right? It's pasul as a carbon. Certainly a treifa, which is asr, which is forbidden for the ordinary person to consume as well, certainly wouldn't you think it's asr to offer it as a carbon on the mizbeach? So why can't that piece of logic suffice to serve as basis to disqualify a treifa for a carbon? Why is a pasuk needed for it? So we launched our discussion yesterday, and we went back and forth and back and forth, and today we're going to pick up right in the middle here. El Omar of Ashi, let me explain to you why that kal vachomer logic would not suffice, and why a pasuk, in fact, is needed to teach us that a treifa is disqualified from being a korban. El Omar of Ashi, Shem Dikel Amemer, because you can argue, you can propose a refutation. You can negate that kal vachomer. Let's go back to the initial step, the initial, kal vachomer. And it can be refuted, right? Nip it at the bud. Why? You're deriving this conclusion based on balmum, right? The balmum is mutter for a hedyot, for an ordinary person, and it's asr l'gavaya. Certainly a treva, which is asr l'hedyot, is asr l'gavaya. Well, there's a big difference between treifa and balmum. Mal balmum, a balmum has a stringency that treifa doesn't have. You see, a balmum can disqualify, number one, the actual item that's being offered, namely the carbon itself. The karev, as the Gemara will call it, the karev, the item that's being offered. And also, it's a factor at play regarding the makriv as well, regarding the kayin. If he's a balmum, he can't be involved in offering a carbon. So the concept of balmum, the balmum issue, is an expansive, a broad type of thing. It affects all around. The carbon, the person, something which treifa doesn't have. Because treifa is only an issue regarding the animal itself, but the kayin, even if he's in a state of treifa, he has a internal illness, serious wound, he's still okay to bring a carbon. So perhaps you can't build one on the other. You can't derive treifa from a balmum. Mal balmum shken also by makriven kikraven. The makriv, the kohen, is also affected by the mum, just as the carbon itself, as opposed to treifa, which doesn't have that expansiveness. Amalei Rav Acha Saba, he told the Rav Ashi. He says, what do you mean? You can't necessarily use that as a factor, because yoytze doifin yoychech. Let's take a look at a one that was born by cesarean. That could undo your refutation, because that will disprove your point. Because on the one hand, it's not expansive, it's not broad. The issue of yetzidofen is only pertaining to the carbon itself. If the animal is a yetzidofen, you can't use it as a carbon. But if the kayin, who's serving the carbon, is a yetzidofen himself, it doesn't affect him. And we find that by the Yetzer Dafin as well, a regular person can eat an animal which is a Yetzer Dafin, but cannot offer such an animal to as a carbon. So you see that although it's not a broad, expansive type of issue, doesn't affect the person offering the carbon, only limited to the animal itself, it's Mutar Lehedid and Asur L'Gavoya. So you can't say that by the So certainly we can use that as a basis for disqualifying the treifa as a carbon. Again, we attempted to base it on balmum. We said no, balmum is a broad iser, broader than treifa. Well, yetzidayfen is not a very broad iser. It only disqualifies the carbon, not the kayin. And if it's mutter for a hetit to eat a yetzidayfen and aser as a carbon, certainly a treifa which is aser to hetit should be aser as a carbon, right? So basically, let's shift the kalvachem over to the yetzidayfen. Use that as the basis to disqualify a treifa as a carbon. What says the Gemara? No, yetzidayfen in a way has a strictness that treifa doesn't have. Mal yetzidayfen shkin in a kodesh v'b'chayra. Perhaps the reason why yetzidayfen is disqualified as a carbon is because if a firstborn kosher animal is born by way of yetzidayfen, not the standard way of birth, he's not going to become kaddish as a bachar. The pasuk said it has to be peter rechem, has to come out naturally. So perhaps that's the reason why he's pasul as a karm, as opposed to treifa, which can become kaddish as a bachar. Right? If a firstborn animal is a treifa, it's still going to be kaddish. So perhaps a treifa should be okay as a karm as well. Babu Mechiach, on that we can respond and say no, that a Balmum will undo this equation, because a Balmum can become a Bechor, right? If a Bechor, firstborn, is a Balmum, it's going to be Kaddish as a Bechor, and it's still Aser as a carbon. Certainly the same would be by a Treifa. Well, Mala Balmum can also by Makribin Kikraven. Now that takes us back to the previous moment here, where we pointed out that the Balmum is a broader issue. It affects the Kohen as well. So maybe that's why it's Asur as a carbon, as opposed to a treifa. Well, Yetzidayfen Yechech, that can be undone by looking at the Yetzidayfen, which doesn't have that expansiveness, and still a Pasul as a carbon. And we're going to sort of ping-pong back and forth. V'chazer Adin, we'll go back and forth here. We can't really pin it down. We can't attribute the Psul as carbon for carbon to any specific reason. We can't say it's because of the expansiveness, but Yetzidayfen doesn't have that. We can't say it's because it affects the Bechira status. Balmum does not have it. So, loy roize, geroize, v'loy roize, geroize. The elements found in one is not found in the other, and vice versa. So you can't necessarily sort of blame or attribute the psul as a carbon to any single factor here. The only way is to find something common to both. Find a common denominator to Balmum and Yetzidayfen. What's the Hatzad HaShava Shabahen? What's the one thing in common to both? Shemotarim Lehedit Vashrim Lekabaya. That on the one hand, a regular person can eat them, a Balmum, Yetzidayfen, no problem. But they're apostle as a carbon, and certainly a treif, likewise a treif, koshken treif, shasur lehedit, teasur legavoya, which is also for a regular person to eat, certainly as a carbon. So back to the old question, why is a pasuk needed to disqualify a treif? We have a simple kalvachem, or a complicated kalvachem. Well, so then I'll tell you why. Ma'ala tzala shava shabahen shkin lahutru mechlala, because there's something unique to these two sources, these two phenomena. Balmum and the Yetzidayfen, Leyotru Mechlala. There are no exceptions to their rules. Tell me about Treifa Sheyotru Mechlala, as opposed to Treifa, which has exceptions. For instance, as we're going to see, by a bird, which has Malika, which is really a form of Treifa, because, as Rashi explains, he first cuts through the spinal cord, the backbone of the bird, which renders it a Treifa. So in effect, it's like a dead bird, it's a treifa. And still it can be offered as a carbon, eaten by the kehanim. So the treifa concept has room for exception regarding mizbeach. So perhaps he's different. And perhaps we can't come down so hard on the treifa animal as well. Perhaps he's also kosher as a carbon. Only Rav Ach by the Rav of Ashi. Treifa shvutim mechlol ma'hi. What's your point? Where's your exception regarding treifa? Where's the exception to the rule? What do we find that there's any element of permissibility by treifa? Ilema, perhaps. Malika doyla sa'if legavaya. The fact that you can be makrava oila bird after doing malika. So is that your point? So since treifa has that exception to it, it allows for huter mechlala, something which balmum doesn't have. Maybe treifa is more lenient, and it could be used as a carbon as well. Well, says the Gemara, if that's the case, if the exception you're referring to is with reference to carbon use, guess what? Balmum also has a similar type of exception to it. Balmum nami ba'if isri yishtiri. Any bird that has a blemish can be used as a carbon. As we learn, Tamos v'zichrus v'behema. The requirement of Tamos, unblemishedness, and zichrus, male requirement, is only by an animal carbon, not by a bird carbon. Vein Tamos v'zichrus v'oifos. So, just as the treifa world allows for exceptions regarding hakrava, the concept of mum as well has allowances for carbon as well, right? Because a bird with a mum can be used. So that's not a leniency in treifa versus mum. Ela malika dechata soif lekehanim. Rather, the exceptional allowance by treifa is regarding a chatas bird that was nimlak, right, which is really a form of treifa. And instead of speaking about offering it as a carb, let's look at the fact that the kahanim will consume it, because kahanim consume the chatas bird. So we see that the issa treifa allows for allowances, for exceptions, even not in the context of carbon. Says the Gemara, right, as opposed to balmum and yitzidoyf and the other items that we spoke about don't really have this concept of hutar mechlola, exceptions to the rule regarding kehanim's consumption, because a balmum and yitzidoyf are never asked for consumption to an ordinary person. Well, says the Gemara, that exceptional case that you're talking about is not really an exception regarding ordinary people, because even when the kehanim eat, it's not their personal food; they're eating off Hashem's table. Kehanim mishulchan gavoya kazoch, eating off the higher table of Hashem. So, in effect, your exceptional case regarding treifa again relates back to the hakrava process. So, in the world of carbon, the world of hakrava, yeah, a treifa sometimes is allowed. But guess what? Then he's no longer different than balmum and yitzidoyf, because they too allow for exceptions. For instance, if a bird carbon is a balmum or a yitzidoyf, not this, the balmum. A balmum, a bird balmum, is okay for a carbon. So there's no distinction anymore. We were trying to wedge a distinction between treif and balmum to this allow comparison and connection, right? Because treifa has huter mechlaloi, has exceptions, it allows for exceptions to the rule, but if it's within the context of akrova, balmum has the same story, because a bird balmum can be used as a carb. So back to the question, why can't we just simply learn that a treifa animal is possible as a carb based on a kavachimer from the dual sources, balmum and yitzidayfin together, or common denominator, right? That they're both mutter lahedit and asur l'gavaya, certainly treifa, which is asur lahedit, asur l'gavaya. Rather, we can refute the Kal V'chomer as follows. We're basing it on a commonality between Balmum and Yetzidoyfin. I'll tell you why they're worse than a treifa. You know what's common to both of them? That their mum, their blemishes, are visible and known. Well, a physical blemish is certainly known, and even Yotze Doifin, says Rashi. If he was born by Caesarean, it's a known thing. It's an unusual occurrence, unusual phenomenon, and everybody's talking about it. So it's, again, something which is known and publicized. So maybe that's why they're worse off than the Treifa. Tell me about Treifa as opposed to a Treifa. It's mum. It's internal. It's not obvious and unknown. Right? You can have something really internal. Oh! So we can no longer derive treifa from the other ones. And that's why we need a pasuk. Mushum hachi istrucha. That's why we need a pasuk. Mina treifa lohoitis. Mina bakar. I mean, lohoitis a treifa to disqualify a treifa. So we went full circle. Right? We started off with the pasuk, min habakar leitzis ha-treifa. Why do we need a pasuk to disqualify treifa as a carbon? We have a kal v'chaymer, joint kal v'chaymer, commonalities, back and forth. End of the day, we can't really base it on a kal v'chaymer. That's why we need a pasuk. Now, one more question. So it's based on which pasuk? The pasuk of min habakar, right? Or treifa macha nafka is really... Is that really the source to disqualify a treifa? Didn't we learn it from elsewhere? Paskin Yecheskel, we mashki Yisrael, we learn from there. Minamutal Yisrael, you can only offer on the Mizbeach something which is suitable for a regular yid to eat, as opposed to forbidden materials like a treifa. And guess what? We have yet a third pasuk. Mikol Hashayav Techas Hashevet Nafka. Prat la treifa Sheinei Iveres. This is by the Master Behemoth, the tenth animal, which is offered as a carbon. Only an animal can walk tachas hashevet, under the staff, under the, as opposed to a treif animal, which is sometimes missing its feet and doesn't have the life force to walk through. So we learn to disqualify a treif from any type of carbon. So we have three sources for the same thing. Why? Tzrichi, all three are needed. Because each one relates to a different aspect of treif, different level of treif. The imi mashki Yisrael, if only from that pasuk, Havamina would say, "Lemutei hecha deloy hoysel shasa kosher." Only disqualifies material which is completely disqualified from day one, which means to say, it earned its treifa status while still unborn. So never had a moment in time of potentiality for karban. Dumi the orluk la'akerem, which is similar to the items mentioned in that pasuk, but orluk la'akerem, which are forbidden from day one. So perhaps that's so far off the track in Asr. But let's say the treifa status arrived only after birth. It had a moment in time. It could be used as a carb. Maybe it's not so terrible. And with this kasha, perhaps it can be used as from mizbeach even now. Because Rachmanu kol shayavar comes the next pasuk. Even in this case, a treifa is disqualified. Furthermore, because Rachmanu kol shayavar, the pasuk only writes it only addresses an animal which turned a treifa, and then he made it into a carbon. Dumi the maser, which is similar to the maser behema phenomenon, which discusses a treifa which is now being made into a carbon. So that doesn't work. Suppose he designated the animal as a carbon, and then it turned into a treifa. The beidna da'agdisha have a chazi where it was chazi, was fit, it was suitable when he made it hegdish. Perhaps it retains that status. Eimot is kasher. Perhaps it's kasher. Kasher rachmanu min habakar comes the next pasuk and says no. This too is disqualified. It's richi, and that explains why all three pesukim are needed. So teilim gimishna continues the gemara. Echad minchas choyte v'echad kol menachos. So back to mincha, which requires kmitza as the first step in the akrava process. So who did the scoop? So again, either we're talking about a regular mincha or even a minchas chayte. Why single out minchas chayte? Will be discussed in the Gemara. So either the sinner's mincha or regular mincha, whose kmitza was executed by an unqualified individual, shakamtzan, zor, a regular person, a Yisrael, not a kohen. Oinin, or a kohen who had just experienced a family death. Tvul yoim, a kohen who is not fully tahar. He had immersed in a mikvah, but is awaiting sunset, mechuzek purim, or has yet to bring his karbonis to complete his purification process. Mechuzek purim, Mechusa begadim is lacking his proper garments. Mechusa kippurim, or he has yet to bring his karbanos. Shelo ruchatz yadav raglav, he hasn't rinsed his hands and feet in preparation for the avoda orel. He hadn't experienced a bris milah. Rashi points out that he was a hemophiliac, it was a family issue, so he couldn't do a bris. Tomei, always outright tomei, yoshim, always in a seated position, oimed, or standing. Al gabe kelim, on some sort of utensil rather than directly on the floor, which is required. Al gabe bemo, standing on an animal. Al gabe chavelin, on his friend's foot. Apostle. All these acts of kmitza apostle. Rashi points out that the sourcings are to be found in the Gemara and Zvachim. A kohen has to be involved, and only a kohen wearing his begadim, rinsed his hands and feet directly on the floor, standing. So we basically equate menachos to zvachim, just like these are requirements by karbonis, by animal karbonis, likewise by menachos. Komas b'smoil pasul, likewise, if there's a kmitza using his left hand instead of his right, it's pasul. However, b'mesero eimer, yachser, in all these cases, where the kmitza was done inappropriately, he could just restore it, put back the material, drop the kmitza back into the kli, v'yachser v'yikmoetz b'yimin, and redo the kmitza rightfully with his right hand. Continues the Mishnah. Komatz v'ala b'yadei tzroir or gargar melech. Let's say he takes a scoop and he discovers there's a little pebble inside his scoop or a grain of salt. Oikar shelavayna, or a drop of the levayna spice that comes along with a mincha pasul. So it's no good because that little granule of salt is taking up this space where there should be some dough. So he's missing in his kmitza. Because it was said as follows, a kaimitz. A kaimitz which is hayasa, which is overflowing, too big, v'chaser, or missing, possible. Vezu hayasa, what's an example of a bloated kaimitz? Should come to mevuratz. And that he did the kmitza in a manner where the dough is sort of sticking out and protruding from his fingers. What's an example of v'chaser, a lacking kaimitz, should come to brush his face? If he did it with the tips of his fingers, he didn't do a full scoop. Because it needs to be a properly sized kaimitz. Ask the Gemara, lama li l'misna. So back to that first opening line of the Mishnah, where it references minchas chayte and an ordinary mincha. That all need to be done properly, with a proper kayin, with proper attire. What's the point of singling out minchas chayte among the rest, instead of just a general statement relating to all menachos equally? Why point out first minchas chayte and then ve'echad kol ha-menachos? Listen, you could have simply stated kol ha-menachos shekam tzenzar v'ayin, all menachos that were done this way. What's the point of singling out minchas chayte? Why would I think it's different? Would I think it's better? Would I think it's less susceptible to psul? Says the more, yeah. Little Rabbi Shimon Yitzchak. That statement, an extra twist, was to highlight Rabbi Shimon's shita. It related to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Sani has willing to the price. Amar Rabbi Shimon, bedinu shetei minchas chayte tu neshem l'mabayim. Your typical mincha needs oil, needs levoina. It's an adorned mincha. It's a complex mincha. Mincha schoite, as we know, is a very simple, plain mincha. And the question is, why wouldn't you add more? Really, a mincha schoite would need shemen and levoina. Shaloye choite niska, we don't want the sinner, it's brought by a sinner, we don't want him to gain on the deal. Why is he getting away with less than a regular mincha? So why? So why, indeed, does it not come with shemen and levoina? Shloye karbanim mehuda. Hashem doesn't want his mincha, his offering, to be adorned and pretty. It's meant to atone for a sin. Keep it basic. Furthermore, regarding animal karbanis as well, we find that by a chatas that a person brings on account of eating, let's say, chalev, he brings no nesachim with the wines, which typically accompany an animal carbon, doesn't come along with a chatas. And the question, the same question is why? Why does he gain on the deal? If anything, it should cost them more. Ubedinu shtei chatas chelav tunu nesachem, truthfully, the chatas of a sinner, we call it chatas chelav, Rashi says it's, you know, most common. So we call it chatas chelav. Really, it should need nesachem. Says the Gemara in Amud Beis. Why would it need? For the same reason. Shelo yehi chayti niska. We don't want the sinner to gain on a deal. Why is he getting away with a lesser? So why? Why then? Umipnei ma eina tu'una. For the same reason. Shelo yehi karboni muhuda. We don't want his carbon to be pretty. So this is Rav Shimon explaining, as he does many times. Rav Shimon Dorash Tama Dekroi explains the reasoning behind halachas. So based on this, perhaps I would think, once Rav Shimon tells us that when it comes to a sinner's offering, it's meant to be plain, basic, simple. Likewise, suppose the kmitza was done in a less than ideal fashion. If the kmitza was executed by an unqualified person, like a czar, like a kainus tami, nami, perhaps there too, tiskasher, it should be okay, because the simpler the better. The more basic, the better. Kamash, one comes to the Mishnah, says no. Not so far. Okay, without oil, fine. Without levina, yeah, but it has to be done properly, with a proper kain. So that's the point of referring to Minchas Chayte separately, to point out, even according to Rav Shimon, who typically explains to us that the offerings of a chayt are meant to be simple and basic, bare bones. Nevertheless, a kohen is needed, a proper kohen is needed. Yach, if that's the thinking behind this statement, Hasam Nami listening. So when it comes to animal karbanos as well, why wouldn't the Mishnah present it the same way? Should say echad chatas chelav ve'echad kalas vachem, whether it's a chatas of a sinner or regular carbon, and on and on. Shekiblu daman, whose blood was received by an unqualified individual, ezar vo'einin, it's possible. The Mishnah should point out the chatas separately, and we'll give it the same explanation. V'leima will explain that in fact, Rav Shimon itzrich, it's needed for Rav Shimon. That although the chatas is a bare bones carbon, but it's less to be executed by a qualified person. Oh, so why didn't the Mishnah Maseches Vachem structure it this way? Apparently, keeping the tunnel a kol, because since the Mishnah begins with the word kol is inclusive, covers everything. Like tanichutz, without making exceptions, just as kol without exceptions, kulu mashmu, by default, it includes every carbon. There's no need to point out this or that carbon. It's automatically included. Hachanabi. Well, the same can be argued by the Mishnah Menaches, by us. Given the Tana Kol v'Tanichutz, once it says the word Kol, which is inclusive, without making exceptions, Kulu Mashma automatically includes everything. So back to the question, why does Mishnah have to point it out separately? Says the Gemara, Istrich, I'll tell you why it's needed. Saga Tachmin, perhaps I would think as follows. Hoyel Vokimna, Lereisha, like Rav Shimon. Once we establish that the first Mishnah back on that base is not going like Rav Shimon, as we discussed there. Seifanami, like Rav Shimon. I would think that perhaps the Mishnah by us follows the same thread. It's not going like Rav Shimon. Okay, and if that's the case, how would I know Rav Shimon's opinion in this regard? Maybe according to Rav Shimon, who says that mincha v'chayte is bare bones, perhaps it's okay even if anybody took care of it, even a zar. Kamash Malam comes back to the Mishnah and says, no, don't you think that for a second. Even according to Rav Shimon, if the kmitza was done by a zar, an oinin v'chulu, that's possible. Amarav. So let's say a zar did kmitza. Can he put the kmitza back into the mix and have the kohen redo it? Amarav zor shekamatz, yeah, yachzer can put it back. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? We discussed this in our Mishnah. It's a machlekes. Only Ben Beseira allows it. Chum did not allow redo. Vanan pasal tanan. Now Mishnah says pasal, he disqualifies the mincha. He can't redo it. My apostle. Apostle just means apostle Ashiyachsu. It's apostle until it's redone, until he puts it back. Yochi Ani Ben Maseiro. Well, if that's the case, then Rav is simply quoting Ben Maseiro's Shita. So it sounds like Rav is presenting a consensus view, but now Mishnah, it seems like it's a machloikis. Says the Gemara, we have to re-explain the Mishnah. The machloikis pertains only to a specific case. Rav is talking about a different case. If the Kometz is still around in its fullness and it can be restored, returned and redone, all agree. Even the Rabbanu would agree to Ben Beseira, you can redo it. No harm was done. And that's Rav's case. The dispute in the Mishnah only pertains to a case where you can't really redo it, the chaser kaimitz. He did the kmitza unlawfully, and something went missing. You know, a little of the kaimitz went missing, and you can't really put it back and start over. There's something missing there. So the question is, can he now refill the mincha and start again? Rabbanu sabri, Rabbanu hold too late. If he lost some of the material, it's over. You can't redo it. You can't bring more material from your house, refill the mincha, and then start over again. It's too late because the mincha, the way you had it, was destroyed. Ben Maseiro Savar, he holds no. Yavi mitech beis imalenu, it's as though nothing happened. Just bring more material, fill it up again, and start from fresh. Says the Gemara Yochi, if that's the way you understand the Mishnah, that all agree. If it can be easily redone, like putting back what you took and start again, it works. Machlokes is only when something went missing, you have to go restore some of the material. Yachi. If that's the case, then b'meseiro imer, yachser, v'yachser, v'yik might be min. Why does b'meseiro simply say, yachser, put it back, and do another kmitza with his right hand? He has to refill the material, b'meseiro imer. Rather, b'meseiro should say, yachser, put back the kmitza, v'yavimitech beisa, go back home and get some more material, malon and refill, and then start over again. That's how he should word his opinion. You're right, says the Gemara. You're right. But the machlokes in the Mishnah is clearly in a case where he can easily restart by just putting back the kmitza and restarting fresh. There's nothing missing. The Rishayim says you can redo it. Chachamim say no. Once the kmitza was done, in a possible fashion, it's too late. Kikama Rav b'Maseiro. You're right. Rav was simply relating to b'Maseiro's shita, because Rabban, of course, disagreed. They hold that once the kmitza was done, even by a zar or with his left, you can't redo it. Well, then, if that's the case, pshita, then he's simply restating b'Maseiro's shita. What's the point of Rav teaching us this halacha? It's simply the Mishnah. The answer is, Rav is elaborating. He's giving us a deeper understanding in Ben Maseiro. Ma'udatim, and perhaps I would think, Ad kan le'kamachshav Ben Maseiro. Elabismal, perhaps Ben Maseiro only allows us redo in one case. When the kmitza was done with the kohen's left hand instead of his right, that's not so terrible, it can be redone. Aval b'shar psulim loy, but perhaps if a zar does it, it nails the mincha, disqualifies it permanently. That cannot be redone. Kamashmon, that's what I would think, says Rav. No, you should know, even a czar, as bad as you get, it can be redone. That's the point of Rav. Now, why would I think a czar is worse than the left hand? I mean, they're both possible and they're both could be redone. What's the difference? Maishno smoil, why would I think that smoil is in a way better and could be redone? So perhaps I can offer a reason for that. Smoil isn't so terrible. We find sometimes that even smoil is allowed as part of the akrava process. We find an element of permissibility regarding left hands. At one point in the day, the kohen gadol has to use his left hand as well. A non-kohen sometimes is qualified. For instance, when it comes to shechita, a zar can do shechita on a karavan. So he also has an element of permissibility. And we're assuming that Shechita is, you know, an integral part of the Avodah. So why would I differentiate between Zar and left hand of a kind? No, Shechita la Avodah. The fact that a Zar can engage in Shechita doesn't say anything about the power of a Zar, because Shechita isn't technically part of the Avodah. It's a prelude to the Avodah. Really? Vamar Abzera, we find that Shechita is a very, very much an integral part of the Avodah. Vamar Abzera, Rav, Shechita's Parah. Let's take a look at the Parah Duma. Shechita's Parah, if it was done bizarre by Yazar Psula, Parah Duma is possible. Vamar Abzera, Rav himself explained why. Elazar v'chukah k'sivba, because by Parah Duma it says Elazar has to do it. It's to be the Kayin, and v'chukah, v'chukah means it's absolute. Well, Shani Parah Dekotcha v'dek Abayisi. The reason why Shechita v'zor by a Parah Duma is no good because it's not really a carbon. It's Kotcha v'dek Abayis. It's a possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says it's not because of a Avoida element. It's not a Avoida there. It's a gzeres akasa. It's the required, you know, process. Vlav kol dechenu. What do you mean? If anything, it's all the more reason to prove our point. It pretty much substantiates our point that shechita is something substantial. Vlav kol dechenu. If anything, it's the other way around. Kotcha v'dekabayis b'yikunaf. You're telling me that a kohen is required to do shechita on even kotcha v'dekabayis. Certainly, kach mizbech lebo kuna. Wouldn't you think that the shechita of a kach mizbech, of a regular karm, of course, it requires a kohen, right? Which means to say that, if anything, if it's considered avoida by kach mizbech, certainly by kach mizbech, and still, if a yisrael is mutter to do, is allowed to do shechita on a regular carbon, doesn't that say something about the power of a zar? That there's an element of permissibility, an element of access to a zar, even by Avoida. So he's no different than Smoil, which has an element of permissibility in a kippur. Amar Rav Shishi ben Ravi didn't know. Certainly, Shechita is not labeled Avoida, doesn't qualify as an act of Avoida. The reason why you need a kohen to engage in the Shechita of the Paraduma is not because it's an Avoida, it's not reflective in any way on the Avoida properties of the Shechita. Shechita is not an Avoida. Rather, Midah Dehava Maris Negoim. It's part of the process. It's a procedural thing. Sometimes we find that the Torah requires a kohen's involvement. Even when it's not carbon, but it's not Avoida. Like taking a look at a Nega, inspecting a Nega. Nobody's going to argue and say that's Avoida. You need a kohen to determine whether the Nega is Torah or not. Right? Same thing with the Shechita Parah Aduma. Omar Rav Shisha, Beit Rav Yehuda Midah Dehava Amaris Negoim. Love Avoida. You know, all agree it's not Avoida. Ubaikuna requires a kohen. The same with the Shechita Parah Aduma. So again, back to the point that Shechita is not really an Avoida. And the fact that a Zohar can do Shechita doesn't say anything about his power and his ability to do Avoida. As opposed to a smile, a left hand, we find on Yom Kippur, when the kohen carries in the utensils, right, to the kodesh kodashim, the keteris, the spoon, one on the right, one on the left. So that's why I would think that perhaps when it comes to doing a kmitza b'smoil, but Meseira allows it to be redone, because smoil, as bad as it is, it isn't so terrible. It isn't as terrible as a zar. Therefore comes Rabban and says, no, even by a zar, the kmitza can be redone. Well, says the Gemara, I can figure that out on my own. Once again, why? V'nelef mebama, I could look at the bama. The public altar, right? When there was no Mishkan, no Beis HaMikdash, they had these bamos, where we find that even a Zohar can engage in Avoida, as we learned back in Maseches Zvachim. So once again, we find that even a Zohar has access to Karbonis. V'chitem in bamos alfinan, perhaps you can argue and say that, you know, a bama is not any indication because as Rashi points out, the bama was something that was around before the kohen was designated as the kohen for avoida. So in any case, a bama is a different setting, a bama is a different context, and you can't really learn from there, right? And Tosis points out even after the choosing of Aaron HaKohen, still we had bummers later on, right, during Noiv and Givon. But in any case, it's a different context, a different setting, different setup. Perhaps you can't learn anything from the bummer to the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps you'll say you can't learn from the bummer. But we do. Batani, we have a Braisa. So it's talking about cases where carbon material was taken on the Mizbeach. Material which is possible, but it was placed on the Mizbeach. The loch is, once it's up there, you don't take it off. But Tani, we have a Braiser. It goes down the list of various, you know, deficiencies. Menayin liyotze, what about carbon material which was taken out of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash? It became possible. Nevertheless, Shemol l'Yerid, once it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come off. Because Yotze, as bad as it is, there's an element of permissibility to it. Shara Yotze kasha b'bama, because by b'bama, there's no problem of Yotze. There are no confines, no machitzes, no boundaries. So since we find that Yotze is not an issue by b'bama, no. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, where it is an issue, but once it's on the Mizbeach, leave it up there. So clearly we're comparing and we're sourcing from the Bama. Why can't we do the same with the Tzar? The answer is, it's not really a proper source. Tana, the Tana of the Braise is really basing himself on a Pasuk. Azois Torah Sa'ila Kosamechle, he's relying on the Pasuk. Zois Torah Sa'ila, anything which is up in the Mizbeach stays up there. And this rationale, this comparison to the Bama is just sort of a, you know, an added element of explanation. But to actually use the Bama as the primary source, that doesn't work. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so Ela Taima, the Ashmina Rav. So it's only because of Rav's presentation that we know that according to Ben Masera, just as when the Kohen does the Kmitza with his left hand, he can restore it and redo it. Likewise, if an apostle like a Tzar does the Kmitza, it can be redone. Ela Taima, the Ashmina Rav. Because otherwise, without Rav teaching us this, Havamina would think Bashar Psulan Pasul Ben Masera. The Ben Masera would not allow a redo regarding other Psulan. Really? Vatani Vabraisa. That clearly there's no difference. It's all based on the same Pasuk. When the Kmitza was done improperly, it can be redone. Vatani Rav Yesi, Rav Yuda, and also Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, they both tell us. Just as Ben Masera allows you to redo the left hand of the Kmitza, same thing with other psulim. Batani, we have a braisa to support it. The pasuk says, "Vekamatz misham." He does Kmitza misham from there. What does that mean? Anyway, in the Azara, even with the, in the back of the Azara, the front. I mean, with the Yisraelim stand, not very close to the Mizbeach. Mimakim shiragle Azara oimdos. Even with the place where the Tzar, where the Yisraelim stand, you can do Kmitza there too. As long as you're in the Azara. The Mesero Omer, Menayin, he has a different halacha that he learns from Bekamas Misham. He can redo it if it was done improperly the first time. Bekamas Misham, he can do Kmitza from the same place that it was already done. Menayin Shem Kamas Bismal Sheachsir. What if he did the Kmitza with his left hand instead of his right hand? You can put it right back. And redo it with his right hand. Do the Kmitza from right there. The same place that the Kmitza was already done from. So if that's the source, the Torah doesn't differentiate between whether the problem is because it was left-handed or whether it was a Yisrael or Yechivan, the cross, stomach, Siba. Once the coin just, once the Pasuk states it as a, you know, blanket fact. Mali Smoilu, Mali Sharpson, what's the difference whether we're, the issue is left-handed or other psulim. So even without Rav's statement, I already know this. So what's Rav's point? El or rather, Hakamashmon Rav. Rav is teaching us as follows: Kamatz, not only if the kmitza was done improperly, but filu kiddush. Even if you went to the next step and you took the kmitza material and put it into a kli sharis to sanctify it, you would think it's too far down the road. It's too far advanced in the process. You can't redo it. The answer is you could. As opposed to the following opinions, who say it's too late. The Sanya, we have a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi, Ben Yasan, and also Rabbi Yudah Hanachtam Aru. They quote. They both concurred that when you're too far advanced, you can't redo it. But when does the Mesera allow a redo? Shekamas v'le kiddush. When all that was done is kmitza without kiddush. Aval kiddush. But once he was makadish, the kaimitz pasal shows over. So Rav is coming to undo this opinion. But there was another version of this Gemara. Kamatz in kiddush loy. Just the opposite. Rav came to point out that a redo only works when you're only at the kmitz, but kiddush loy, but once you did kiddush, it's too late. Exactly like this opinion. Like these opinions in the brisa, k'man k'ani tanoi, in line with these two opinions, lafu k'mi tanakama, as opposed to the tanakama, the other opinion in that brisa, who allows it to be redone even once it got to the kiddush state. No, Rav disagrees and concurs with the other opinions. And we'll leave it here. We'll continue tomorrow further on this discussion. In any case, at this point we have a discussion regarding Treifa. It's possible as a carbon based on three psukim. Whether it's Hoysel Shasa Koyser or Loy Hoysel Shasa Koyser, whether it was Nidrafa and then became Hegdash, just the opposite. And that's what we learned from all the psukim. Learned that all menachas, even a Minchas Choyte, even according to Reb Shimon, whose kmitza was done improperly, whether using the kohen's left hand or not a kohen at all, is possible. According to Ben Masero, can be redone. And as Rashi points out in the Mishnah, and as the Gemara concludes, this pertains to any problem with the kmitza, whether left hand or whether azar. What if it was taken to the next step and kiddush was accomplished? Can that be redone according to Ben Masero? On that way, Ben Machlekes is Tanoi. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.